let me clear my gravelly voice here. And hope everybody's doing well this evening and well enough to come to church, huh? And well, that's good. That is so, so good. Excuse me. And we're just thankful ourselves to be able to have the health and the clarity of mind to be able to be here tonight and stand one more time and teach God's Word. But we want to dive right into our prayer requests, announcements, and different things. Excuse me. Let's remember tonight, Brother Ceylon Plemons, he called me just a bit ago and let me know that, he actually, I missed his call, and he left me a message, and it had Ceylon's name on it, but it sounded just like a bullfrog. I said, "This doesn't sound like Ceylon." So I called him back, and he's got a cold, and so he's at home tonight. Saying that, the his Sunday school class get-together is canceled, so on Friday. That was supposed to be on Friday, and so he wanted me to mention that tonight, that it's canceled for a later date. Also, Miss Carla Rich, Brother Don had to go solo tonight down to South Georgia to his Wednesday night meeting. She's at home not feeling well. So let's remember Miss Carla, but also Brother Don as he's on the road. So we are praying for Miss Carla tonight. I'm just going to mention all these that have contacted me about being sick first. C.J. Martin is at home sick tonight with a cold, just runny nose, sore throat. And Miss Glenda, she's at home tonight not feeling well. And so let's remember these in our prayers that just experiencing some of this seasonal stuff, I guess, and pray that the Lord touch them, make them better as quick as He can. But let's remember that. Let's remember Miss B.J. Monday will be your big day, won't it, Miss B.J.? All right. Monday will be B.J.'s big day for her knee replacement. And the finest of robots will be taking care of her. And how'd your robot class go? Did that go good?
It was fine.
It was fine. And so I tell you, everything is advancing, whether it's in the medical field or just electronics, everything is. We're all advancing. Sometimes that's scary, but we just trust those who are making it advance. We're trusting the builders of the advancing. So let's remember her. Just continue to remember everyone on the prayer list. I'll just read everybody's name out as we normally do. Jeff and Sharon Hodges, in our prayers, and passing of his brother-in-law, Larry Bennett, and his brother Greg that passed. I believe his memorial service will be this coming Saturday in South Carolina. Again, the Plemons, Ceylon and Catherine both, and good to see that the Sanveys are back tonight and are stable, doing good, and that's a blessing, so praying for you too. The Children's Home, James and Shirley Townsend, and of course James is doing much better from his broken ribs that he had when he, I can't remember how he got those broken ribs, either by coughing or something maybe. I believe that, but it's been a while ago, but he's healed, he's better. The Teagues, Miss Connie is doing better, she's recovering little by little. It's going to be a bit longer than she thought before she's able to get back. But Lord willing, Brother Larry will be with us on Sunday night at the ordination. Don Daly, Trell Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins. Spoke with Brother Rusty, and it's just a lot of working. Of course, his mother's not well, so it's working with her. And, of course, Miss Chris in her back situation. Let's just remember them, church, to pray for these guys and gals. Randy and Janet Bailey, the Tidwells. Of course, we always like to remember Brother Larry Rich, former pastor in Austell. Cassie Karanovich, Leonard Palmer, Of course, the Palmers was with us last Sunday morning, so we praise the Lord for that. And Claude, friend of David and Glenda Henderson, Harold Dolph, Charlie Wilson, Marcia Turner, Melissa Slagle. Melissa Slagle was with us last Sunday morning. The Rich family, Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano, Barbara Anderson, Randy and Diane Ely, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, all of those who are in services, military services that are at the home, at least two we have, so we're praying for them. Let's also remember, of course, as I just mentioned, this coming up Sunday night will be our ordination service. And let's just pray that everybody's well. I hope Brother Harold can be here. Not really sure, but I hope he can. And I hope Brother Ceylon can be here for that. So it's always good to have some assistance when you're ordaining deacons or anyone for that matter in the ministry. But let's pray for that service. From what I hear, it's going to be a packed house. CJ's family is going to be here, extended family, probably nearly 50 just on his side that's coming. That's what I heard, not to mention Brother Brian's family. And so it's going to be a nice crowd Sunday night. We're looking forward to that. And again, Brother Snyder will be with us. He will be, I've asked him if he would charge the deacons since Brother Snyder has just known them too their whole lives basically, but I'm going to challenge the church concerning their deaconship. And so it's going to be a good night. We'll have food and refreshments to follow. Also, let's see, next Sunday morning I'd mentioned a love offering for the purpose of a portable sound system. And let me just say that we had someone, and I'm not going to share no names, but we had someone that had offered to purchase that outright. And so we appreciate them who did that for our church and the work of the ministry. It's just a tremendous blessing. We have some of the biggest givers in this church, and we're very proud of that. And so you know who you are. Thank you for that. But I will say we are still going to have a love offering. I'll tell you why. We're still going to have love offering. Feel led to have one because part of that portable sound system has to do with our outside movie nights. And we'd like to invest eventually in a screen for that. So that's why I think it would be good to invest in that. And of course, movies that we watch, things like that. So therefore we're going to continue to have that love offering for our outside ministry, we'll just say. Whether it's the last Sunday night fellowship that we have on Sunday nights, the last Sunday night of every month, outside, there's things that we need for that. And then for the movie nights that we're going to have, there's needs for that. So, this will continue to be for Sunday morning after the service. Our love offering. All right, and I do want to mention about our young people going to Camp Ivy. I just wanted to keep on mentioning that because I'm proud of that. I'm proud and thankful to say that Calvary Baptist Church is sending our young people to camp. A lot of churches can't say that, and so I'm saying that because I'm proud of it, and I'm thankful for our leaders, and I'm thankful for those at the children's home who's in leadership, who helps with that. And so we're thankful. But those dates will be the 18th through the 23rd. And so if you have anybody that is affiliated with our church, and that's of the age, I'm not sure of the age group, but see Brian Busby or Miss Darlene Hancock for that. All right. Anybody have any prayers, any praises, any updates tonight they want to share?
We went to see Barbara.
Okay.
She
seemed to be Excellent. And let me ask you, has the protocol changed in visiting her?
No.
Was it a window visit?
It was a window
Okay. Okay. I think Brother Jeff had mentioned something. Okay. Yeah. So I hear that, of course, the window visits are continual, but there's a possibility of actually meeting outside if the weather permits. Of course, you don't want Miss Barbara to come outside if it's 100 degrees, neither. Yeah, scheduled as well. So anyway, thank you for that, Miss Lee Ellen and Miss Sharon. Anybody else? Yeah.
That hurricane went through our hometown.
Did it?
Yes, and we're not real sure about how much damage we've done, so we still have a lot of friends.
Yeah, absolutely. What city or town is that?
We're not real sure what damage we've done.
What city? Madison, Florida.
Madison, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Well,
there was lots of rain.
Right. Remember the Williams tonight and their families and hometown back in Florida for sure. Absolutely. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's remember our young people tonight and our teachers that are teaching down below. And again, just remember this coming up Lord's Day, Sunday morning and Sunday night. All right. All that would, you can join us in the altar. We'll have a time of silent prayer together. And you can pray where you're at, or you can pray down here in the altar. So that's all up to you. New Testament tonight, book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4 tonight is where we're going to begin. Ephesians, chapter number 4. I want to begin reading in verse number 13. And then we're going to stop in verse 15. Ephesians 4. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13. The Bible says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. I know the thought continues in verse number 15 into verse 16, but we're going to stop in verse 15 tonight. And I want to say that these three verses deal primarily with growth. With growth. He mentions some things here. Verse 13, notice about three quarters of the way through that verse, he says, unto a perfect man, unto a mature man, a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's talking about becoming more like Jesus and growing into that full measure of Christ. Verse 14, he talks about not being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And so what he's talking about here is just being grounded, being settled, knowing what you believe and why you believe what you believe. Verse 15, he uses the two words in the middle of the verse. He says, grow up, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. And so tonight, these verses are dealing with growth. Dealing with growth. And I want to talk to you tonight on that subject. really, it's an elementary style lesson. But, you know, from time to time, it does us all good to just go back to the basics, doesn't it? And to revisit some things that that maybe we need to hear again. So tonight I want to talk to you on this subject, disciplines that ensure spiritual growth. Disciplines that ensure spiritual growth. It doesn't matter the age of the person this evening, we will always be pursuing maturity in Jesus, won't we? I mean, from the time we get saved until the time that we're promoted to heaven, we are on a continual pursuit to be more like Jesus. In Philippians, I'll just give it to you, but Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 12, Paul says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm not a perfect man. He says, from the day that the Lord saved me until now, he says, I've been on a chase for Jesus. He says, sometimes I think I have Him, not meaning salvation. He was saved, and we know salvation is permanent. But just talking about reaching that place of absolute completeness. Paul says, I'm just not there yet. And so tonight, it doesn't matter how young or old a person is, there's going to be this continual chase after Jesus. And so there's some disciplines, though, tonight. There are some disciplines that if we exercise ourselves with, if we discipline ourselves in, it will ensure that we will grow. There's times when it comes to growing or growth. I know there's definitely times when it comes to losing weight that you reach what they call plateaus, where you diet, you exercise, and you try to eat good, and then still you step on the scale and you haven't lost anything. A lot of the times it's because you've reached a plateau. Well, I think the same is in the Christian experience. You know, we're in church, we're at home, and we're reading our Bibles there, we're praying, and sometimes it just feels like nothing's happening. Well, take into consideration tonight these five things. I'm telling you, they are simple things. You know these things. But when I mention these things tonight, I'm going to mention them in kind of a different light. And you'll see what I'm talking about when I mention these things. So five things that will ensure spiritual growth. Number one, prayer. I told you it's elementary tonight. But we need to start with prayer. I think prayer is something that is overlooked and underused so much. And starting with myself tonight. But prayer tonight is conversing with God. It's conversation with the Lord. It's talking to God. And prayer is a discipline. I'm telling you, prayer takes discipline and prayer takes intention. We need to learn, listen to this, we need to learn to build prayer routines into daily patterns in our lives. Think about that a second. That prayer is a discipline. Prayer doesn't come naturally. There's so much to benefit from prayer, but prayer is also that needs is something that needs to be built into a routine and become a pattern. When prayer is built into a routine in our life and it starts to become a pattern, we will reap the full benefits of what prayer can do. If we're living the kind of Christian life where we're kind of half in, half out, you know, pray only when we're in trouble. Yeah, we have a Heavenly Father who cares about us and who is there for us. But I think sometimes that a lot of the problems in our life can be stopped through a proactive approach to prayer. You ever thought about that? That there's a lot of people who only go to prayer. I mean, there's been times where I went to God in prayer only when I was in trouble. But I started to learn through time that we can be proactive in prayer. Maybe if we went to God in prayer more, then we might have more wisdom on handling our problems and may not make some bad decisions at times. Just a thought about prayer. Need to learn how to build prayer routines into daily patterns in our life. Listen to this. Sometimes prayer is difficult. We know that. With all of life's distractions and our emotions fluctuating, prayer can be challenging, can't it? Have you ever knelt down to pray and right when you did, man, forgot to pay that bill? I mean, it happened to me today. Went to my prayer chair this morning that I have in my garage. It's a big old, it's not a recliner, but it's just a big old big boy chair, you know? And used to have in the living room at the old house, and I didn't want to throw it away. And I said, no, you know, that's going to be my prayer chair at our new place. And so the moment I sat down in that chair, immediately, I got a bill that's due tomorrow. I need to pay it today. And then I get to thinking about, well, Thursday is going to be grass cutting day. And then Friday I have an appointment with a church member. And then you know, and then Saturday is my study day. And all of a sudden I'm going through all these things in my mind about prayer. And it's just difficult sometimes when it comes to prayer. And so we just need to be intentional. We need to be disciplined. And through time we can build these prayer routines. And they can become patterns. And then we can reap the full benefits of prayer. Just stay at it. Keep trying, you know. I'm not talking to anybody tonight that hasn't reaped the benefits of prayer. Talking to the cream of the crop, Wednesday night service, churchgoers, our people. You know what it's like to pray. You know what it's like to struggle in prayer. You know what it's like also to reap the benefits of prayer. So prayer at times can be difficult. I heard a story one time of a young boy who, listen to this, he stayed up all night squeezing lemons, all night long. And in fact, he went through a bag of 50, just squeezing lemons, just trying to get these lemons into glasses. Well, he was saddened the next morning when all of that squeezing he did only got him 10 glasses of lemonade. course, by adding a couple more things, ingredients, he had very tasty lemonade. But he was discouraged because he stayed up all night squeezing these lemons and only had 10 cups, 10 glasses. His whole intention was to have a lemonade stand, and so he set that lemonade stand up. And the moment he set it up, those 10 glasses sold within like 10 minutes. Now he was excited, and he was also anxious to go back and squeeze more lemons. Can I say tonight that the squeeze is worth the juice? And when it comes to prayer, there is a squeeze that's involved. There's somebody in your life, you're praying for salvation, you can rest assured there's going to be a squeeze involved. There's financial difficulties in your life, there's a squeeze involved. There's physical problems in your life, there is a lot of squeezing going on, or should be going on in prayer. And sometimes it's distracting when we're trying to pray for a loved one and we're just trying to squeeze in to that throne room of grace and pray to God about our loved one or our own situation. Sometimes it's difficult, but I say tonight that the squeeze is worth the juice. Keep on squeezing and let God answer one of those prayers. And you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be anxious to go back to that prayer closet and squeeze some more. And tonight, this element of prayer is a discipline that will ensure spiritual growth. That's one avenue is how we grow, is by engaging in prayer, talking to the Lord, and squeezing our way through that thing, and seeing God move in a very mighty way. So number one, prayer is one thing that will promote or ensure spiritual growth. Let me say this before I move on from prayer. I looked at this. I studied on this. I actually found it after a certain commentator. But about prayer, he says, or this one commentator said, there's an acronym for prayer. I preached on this before. An acronym, you take a word, and each letter of that word identifies with a separate word that describes the whole word or the whole subject. And what I mean by that is there's the acronym of prayer, and it's the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. Each letter has a word that describes prayer. Listen to this, ACTS. The A stands for adoration. And this is giving praise for who God is. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, we are to offer adoration for who He is. Well, who is He? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. God is love. God is graceful. God is merciful. God is all of those things and much more. And so one of the best ways to approach prayer in a systematic way would be just saying, Lord, I praise you for who you are. And for how you work in my life. Lord, I understand that you know all things. And so this situation in my life, Lord, that I'm struggling with, you know about it. And you want to offer help. Lord, you have all power. There's no doubt, God, you could give me the grace to deal with this thing today. And Father, you're everywhere. You're not only handling my need, but everyone's need. So there's adoration. And that's the letter A. But then there's the letter C. In the word ACTS that describes prayer. And that letter C means confession. Confession. And so we praise the Lord for who He is, but then we confess unto Him our faults and failures. As long as we, with a pure heart, a genuine heart, say, Lord, I failed you this week, as long as we come before Him in that manner, being genuine and real, then it's behind us. We know that our sins are gone as believers, but there is no cloudiness between our relationship with the Lord as long as there's confession of our faults. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we do not have confession in our Christian life, we can have a clouded, not a severed, but a clouded relationship with the Lord. You see, our union with Him is not severed, but our communion is when there's not confession. I like what evangelist Bill Stafford used to say. He's in heaven now. But Bill Stafford used to say that I do my best to stay repented up to date. And that's so true tonight. Repent, 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 repent every single day. Stay confessed. So there's confession. And that's the letter C. But then there's the letter T. And that's thanksgiving. And so when we looked at the letter A, that's adoration. That's praise for who He is. The letter C is confession, but the letter T is thanksgiving. And that is praise for what He's done. While we offer adoration for praise for who He is, now we're giving thanks to God for what He's done. Many times when I pray in church and lead on our Sunday morning prayer, normally before I say amen, I say, Lord, thank You for who You are and for what You've done. What You've done in the past, present, and future. Because I'm trying to cover all of the grounds and try to, although the Lord already knows it, He wants to hear it, and just trying to express a type of praise by saying, Lord, I'm thankful for who You are and for what You do. T stands for thanksgiving. And then S tonight stands for supplication, and that is requests. You see, a lot of times, and listen, I'm guilty of this at times, and I have to remind myself to give thanks before I ask for something. You know, it's like our children, has one of your children or has a child came up to you after you've given them something, and they come up to you again and they ask for something else. I know that there's been times when Lily's done that. Even as of late. Dad, can we do this? Dad, can I have this? Yeah, honey, you can have it. I don't see nothing wrong with that. A day or two later, she'll come back up again. Dad, what do you think about this? Is this okay if we have this? Can I have this? I say, I don't see nothing wrong with it, but a good hearty thank you from the first thing we gave you, you know, is in line here. Same way with the Lord. God's been good to us, and I just think that it's in line with Scripture if we approach Him by saying thank you first. Of course, there's a lot of people who never say thank you, and there's a lot of people who never confess and never adore Him for who He is. And then when something happens in their life, they're demanding that God answer that request. What kind of relationship is that? It's kind of like it's kind of like the car that is traveling down the road and gets a flat tire. And pulls out the spare to fix it to get them back on the road again. A lot of people treat the Lord like a spare tire, only in times of trouble. But there's the acts of prayer. And no doubt tonight prayer is challenging, but prayer is definitely like squeezing lemons. It's certainly worth the juice. And so prayer can ensure tonight our spiritual growth, no matter how old or young we are. But number two, very, very easy here, Scripture. Scripture. Scripture will definitely ensure our spiritual growth. We know that God's Word is final. His Word is the final authority, and it should dictate. We should allow God's Word to dictate all that we do or say. God's Word is seed, we know. Once digested, it starts to grow. But it has to be nourished and protected. And so, when we read God's Word, we're actually digesting a seed, a spiritual seed. And we know that His Word will not return void, but also it must be nourished and protected. I'll tell you what I mean. Turn, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter number 4, for a moment. Mark, chapter number 4. You remember the parable of the sower? Mark, chapter number 4, in verse number 3. We have the parable of the sower, and there's four grounds in this parable dealing with God's Word being as seed. Look at verse number 3 of Mark 4. He says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We'll stop there for a moment. There's four types of grounds here. And again, we're talking about the Word of God being seed. Verse number 4 tells us that some seed fell by the wayside. Verse 5, some seed fell on stony ground. Verse 7, some seed fell among the thorns. In verse 8, some seed fell on good ground. Good ground. Now, in verse number 4, I want you to notice that there's a contender with this area where this seed fell. In verse 4, the Bible says, and it came to pass as he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Let me back up. Where am I at? Verse 4. Oh, let's flip over. Look over, if you would, to verse 15. I'm sorry. This is the explanation of the grounds. Verse 15. Mark 4:15. And that's my fault. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And so the first area where seed fell when the sower went to sow was by the wayside. Of course, this is off the beaten path. But the Bible says there's a contender here when this seed is sown. And the contender is Satan. He says, Satan cometh. And he's described back in this other verse I'll begin reading as the fowls of the air, how they came and devoured it up. But Satan is the contender here. And I want to say that whenever we are taking in God's word, and we're trying to walk on God's word, Satan is always a contender. I mean, you know, have you ever been having a decent day and you've had your prayer time and no matter if it was just 5 seconds just to say a word, I love you, Lord. You chose a verse, you meditated on a verse, you read a verse, but then all of a sudden your day went south in a hurry. A lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, Satan is the culprit for that. And a lot of times Satan comes along and he likes to steal that word that was sown into our hearts. And so that's the contender tonight when we're trying to grow into the full stature of the Lord. And we know we ought to pray, we know we ought to read our Bibles, but look out for this contender. Satan, who says God will not come through for you when you need him the most. The one who tries to deceive us and make us think that worldliness is okay and doing all these carnal things is okay. We're forgiven anyway. This is the number one contender, Satan. Just know that he's one who tries to try to steal God's word from our hearts. It has to be nourished and protected. But then notice in verse number 16, the second ground where seed was sown was on stony ground. Verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You ever met somebody who came to church a couple of times and they were giving God praise. And listen, I'm not knocking no one, but I'm just saying they were giving God praise and amen, hallelujah, preacher, and all of those things. They came maybe, I don't know, a couple times, a few times, or over a small amount of time. But then when something came up in their life, you couldn't find them with a warrant. They were gone. And this is because the contender here is not having a root system. Not having a root system. And so therefore, because they are shallow Christians, the first time that something is contrary to them, or the first time someone offends them at church, then they leave church. How many people do you know that has left church because they were offended over what somebody said, or how a service went, or the preacher's not feeding the flock, or I just don't like the paint on the walls, or I just don't like it because we don't have all of these different ministries? So many shallow Christians out there tonight. I challenge all of us tonight, the cream of the crop, to get deep in God's Word. To know it's the Lord who we serve and not man. And so therefore, let people lash out in their tongues against us. Let someone say something to us that's contrary to the Word of God or offends us. Take it to the Lord. Let us be mature about it. And things will happen in life. Affliction will come, as verse 17 says. Persecution and trials and all those things. But don't allow that to get us out of church. Don't allow that to get us away from the Lord. And the reason why it won't is because we are digging in. But so many tonight are shallow, and they leave. That's why it's important when there's a new convert that gets saved is to disciple them. I remember when I first got saved that, man, it seemed like the first 5 years I was walking on clouds. You know, everything was wonderful. Not a cloud in the sky, in fact. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful. But then eventually I learned I was on planet Earth. And I didn't doubt my salvation. I just knew that, in a sense, the honeymoon was over. Now it's time to be a disciple. Now it's time to bear that cross. Now it's time to be God's man when no one else is. And in order for me to do that, I had to get deep. And a lot of times, affliction and trials is what God uses to get us deep. And so this surface of ground here is the stony ground. What he says in verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. There's a third ground, and that is the thorny ground. Look at verse number 18. He explains it and says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in. Boy, there could be a lot in that phrase, other things entering in. That covers everything. What other things tonight are we allowing to enter in that is hindering our walk with the Lord? That's the question. And that phrase just jumped out to me, and that will preach tonight. That'll preach anytime. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The contender in this verse with these grounds is the contender of worldliness. Worldliness. The things of this world, if we try to take in God's word, and yet we try to straddle the fence and go after the world and go after God. Man, a man can't serve two masters. We know that. We're going to either hate the one and love the other. Something's got to give. Fence straddling is not for the Christian. Tonight, we see that there are the thorns to deal with. But then, praise the Lord, there's good ground. In verse number 20, the Bible says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, or receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. These are the seeds that fall into good ground. And so by this parable within itself, one out of four falls into good ground. I thought about that one time. One out of four people. I mean, statistically, as we have it here in this parable, some fell by the wayside, some stony ground, some thorn, some good ground. In any particular service, there is those where the word is going by the wayside and Satan's getting it. There are those where it's falling on stony ground. There's no root system, so there's immediate joy at times, but it fizzles out. And then in any particular service, there are those who are trying to straddle the fence, and the word is falling among the thorns. God is contending for the heart of those people. And then in any particular service, there's one out of four. There's that one. I can't remember. I did the math one time at our first church, and I think that when we left Zion View, we had around 60 people. When we first got, and listen, all praise goes to God, but when we first got there, we had about 15. The Lord allowed us to build up and build up, and we had about 60-ish when we left. And if you do the math, that really narrows down. If there's one out of four, the seed's doing a job to, that really narrows down to a remnant. But you know, that's the truth of the church and in the church. And listen, we all can fall to the devil and his lies. Any of us can have a shallow root system or stop caring about nourishing and protecting God's word. And any of us tonight, those watching on Facebook, we can fall into the cares of this world and worldliness and riches and money. It could happen to any of us tonight. Any of us. But that's why I say that when it comes to ensuring our growth, it takes the scripture, but then it takes care when we digest it. And what I mean by that is there must be a straight walk in our life. We're not perfect, but we desire to walk straight. There must be faithfulness in our lives. There must be holiness in our lives and obedience in our lives and a passion to continue to strive to be the person we want to be in our lives. Just coming and listening to a sermon is not going to change anybody's life. Just coming and listening to a message is not going to make someone grow to be this seasoned Christian. It takes nourishment after what we hear. And carefulness, it takes us protecting it, and we do that by walking right. We fail the Lord during the week. We ask God to forgive us. We know we're forgiven eternally, but we ask Him to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That will allow the clouds to dissipate between our relationship and Him. Keep on going. You fall down, get up, and keep on going. I promise you, over time, you will grow. None of us are perfect, but if we, like the Bible says in Proverbs, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. If you fall down, get up and keep going. Over time, you'll be surprised how you grow. And the Bible says in verse number 20, in the latter part of that verse, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. 30, 60, and 100. Some people bear a lot of fruit. Some people bear a little bit of fruit. Some people bear some. That ain't the problem. The common denominator tonight is that we bear fruit. Some will bear 30, some 60, some 100. And that it's no competition when it comes to fruit bearing. The point is that we bear fruit, but the reality is some will bear more than others. Some tonight are pastoring and they'll leave for a week revival and preach all week. I don't know if I could do that. maybe I could do it if God wants me to do it. But I'm a home church man. God has called me to pastor. This is what I love to do: be at the same church, making the relationships deeper with my people, God's people, and things like that. And others, they go and they sing all week and they preach and they pastor. And others are missionaries. You know, I don't know if I could do that. I could if God wanted me to. But what I'm saying is we all bear fruit, but in different amounts. But the point is that we bear fruit. You know, I like this old quote: I'm not who I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise the Lord, I'm not who I used to be. I go back to that a lot during the weeks, during the days when I feel like I'm not bearing the fruit that God wants me to bear. I just look back at who I used to be. And so tonight, Scripture. Scripture is one way to ensure our growth. Let me say this about Scripture. We need to meditate in Scripture. You know, there's a difference between reading God's Word and meditating in God's Word. What's the difference, you say? Well, reading God's Word is when you get into God's Word. But meditation is when God's Word gets into you. And I want to tell you, meditation can't happen if it's rushed. Meditation can't happen if it's rushed. There's been a time or two where my week has prevented me to give hours into a single sermon. And I can remember, and it happens from time to time now if I'm not careful. But so much going on during the week that I'm getting closer and closer and closer to Sunday. Friday rolls around and I don't have no thoughts. And my mind is still boggled with the other things that's going on I'm taking care of. And then Saturday rolls around and I'm not getting nervous, but I am soul seeking. I'm heart searching. And I'm just saying that there's times in my study, I've told Christy many a times, I would come out of my study and sit on the couch, both arms in the chair like this, stretched out, just wore out. I said, I can't get nothing from God in that place. I can't get anything from the Bible. It feels like ink on paper in my study. And I said, I feel just like a caged lion. And so I sit in that chair for a few minutes and I relax and I allow everything to leave my mind and I get to a place where I'm empty in my mind. And then finally, things start to move. Things start to click. And what it is all of that stuff in my mind. It's all of those things building up. You just have to reach a point where you just leave everything outside your mind and allow God's Word to get in your mind. That's the difference between reading and meditating. Anybody can read. I mean, you can read God's Word, read a verse. But when you meditate, you're allowing that verse to get in your mind and work it into your heart. And when it gets in your heart, real change takes place. Let me mention one more thing, and we'll be through tonight. Prayer, Scripture, these are things, these are disciplines that ensure spiritual growth, but then fellowship tonight. Fellowship. There's two more. We won't mention those tonight. We'll finish that next Wednesday night. But fellowship. And the Bible endorses fellowship. Listen to this. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In that verse, it tells us not to forsake our coming together. And it tells us there is exhortation when we come together. There's encouragement. We can encourage one another when we come together. And it's something that ought to be done more, not less. And so the Bible endorses these assemblies and coming together and fellowships. Acts chapter number 2. Turn to Acts chapter number 2 for a moment. Listen to this. This is those early Christians in the early church. Acts chapter number 2 in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen to this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. How do you think they had all things common? Do you think they just, you know, met one time and figured out everybody's life together? No. It was through these fellowships and breaking of bread. Most importantly, getting saved and getting in God's Word, but then getting engaged in fellowship. That's how they learned that they had a lot in common. They trusted Jesus as their Savior. They had that in common, and the Scriptures, they had those the Scriptures in common. They went to God's Word. They desired God's Word, but the Bible says, and had all things common. In fellowship, outside of church, when we come together, we learn about each other, what we like, what we don't like, and we learn that we have things in common together. If we just come to church and never have fellowship, all we would be basically are acquaintances, which means we slightly would know about each other. Because think about it, on Sunday morning, 1 hour, two maybe, Sunday school, Sunday night, and Wednesday. You can't fully learn about somebody just those three times a week. It's about fellowship. And so, even down in our fellowship, Paul, what do we have on the wall? That sign that was wrote out, that was painted out, it says, "May your fellowship be sweet." The Bible endorses fellowship. That's why we have our Sunday night fellowships outside. And I don't know about you, but I really feel like it's done some good for our church. Do you? I mean, it's just something different. And we're able to be on the outside, and everybody's in casual wear, and it's just a relaxed atmosphere. It's just allowed others to talk that doesn't normally talk in church. It's all about the fellowship. And it can't be all fellowship. It has to be, we have to have services too, but we can't just have services in without fellowship. So it's a balance tonight. It's a balance. And if we fellowship one with another, that will ensure us that we will grow spiritually. And really it leads me to my fourth point, which we'll most likely touch on next week, which is accountability. Accountability will ensure spiritual growth. We learn of one another. We learn our weaknesses, possibly, and then we develop support systems where we check on each other. And so, but then lastly, it's the word ministry. When you find a place in ministry, you teach a class, you work the nursery, you are holding yourself accountable, but also you're growing yourself. But we'll touch on those two next Wednesday night, accountability and ministry. But fellowship, Scripture, prayer, these are three things that will ensure spiritual growth tonight. We never get too old to grow, do we? Spiritually. And you're never too young either. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, tonight I pray that your word would go and to the hearts of all your people. I enjoyed my study time in preparation for this. Lord, help me live the gospel as I preach the gospel. Help us all live the gospel, Lord. And we could only do so by your strength and the energy of the Holy Spirit. And so we love you tonight. Be with us, keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely on Sunday morning. Let this coming Sunday be an amazing Sunday. Lord, let someone get saved on Sunday morning. Let someone that is wayward come back to the cross this Sunday morning. Lord, we're waiting to rejoice over good reports. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with us on Sunday night when we ordain two of your own, O God, for the ministry as a deacon. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we close?